Hello, friends, and thank you so much for listening to the Hope Canteen podcast, where we look to one of our upcoming Sunday readings for insight into our walk with Christ. This is our 31st episode. My name is Stephen London, joined as always by Stephanie London and Michael Rolfe. We're all clergy at St. Thomas Anglican, but just a reminder, Stephanie is also priest in charge at St. Columba Beaumont, and Michael is a retired archdeacon of the diocese. So I'm so glad, as always, to have you both joining me. Just wondering, how are you today?
I'm well. We had an invigorating walk in the frosty weather this morning, so a little bit of torture for the dog, but it was nice.
I think for me, we talked to the bishop yesterday, and I knew that it was coming that we would be closing down the church through till January, but it took me a little bit to process that. I knew it was coming, but it kind of hit me hard. We will make Christmas, still tell the story and sing carols, but it's going to take me a little while knowing that we can't hang out with people we want to hang out with.
Yeah, it's just going to be really different. And I think we're starting to live into this theme of lament and hope.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Steve. I too was expecting this, and yet hoping, I guess, that it wouldn't come, that wouldn't be necessary. And now that we know that it is going to be, we are going to be shut down for Christmas. Well, okay. I'm starting to work on that too. In the meantime, upstairs here at the house, baking is going on like crazy. Some things have to happen regardless of the shutdown. So we'll be delivering Christmas baking to doorsteps rather than having it on the table in front of us as we all gather. And that's kind of hard to deal with, but we're working on it.
Mm-hmm. I do wish I could smell the inside of your house, though, if all that baking.
Yeah, it's one of those things technology can't quite give us.
The Christmas cakes are soaking in brandy as I speak.
Lovely. Mm. Yeah. In today's podcast, we are coming up now to the third Sunday in Advent, and you will start to see the themes of Advent evolve. At the beginning of Advent, we have some language of judgment, but now we're turning to the language of the anticipation of salvation. We're starting to look beyond the coming of Christ to what are God's hopes and dreams for what creation will look like. To get at this change of theme, we're looking today at the reading from Isaiah. And if you wish to read it ahead of time, you can pause the podcast here and read Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4, skip verses 5 through 7, and then read verses 8 through 11. Why does the lectionary skip these readings? That's a conversation for another podcast. We will get into the specifics of the reading in this podcast, but I would first want to give you a bit of a brief introduction. Isaiah is one of the prophets of ancient Israel in the Old Testament, and there's sometimes some misunderstanding about what a prophet is. It's usually seen as someone who predicts the future. But the Old Testament prophets are different. They had, in fact, two basic themes. The first was to call the ancient Israelites away from the worship of other gods. The Bible calls it idolatry, and back to the worship of the one true God. The second theme was the theme of justice. As we will see in our reading today, God hates violence and theft and oppression, and so he calls Israel again and again to justice. The book of Isaiah is actually broken up into three different unique sections. The first book takes place in the 8th century BC, warning the Israelites that exile is coming if they don't get their act together. They didn't get their act together, and they went into exile. So the second section comes 70 or 80 years later, telling a people now currently in exile that their time is done and they can now look back to going back to Jerusalem. The third part of the book of Isaiah, where our reading this morning currently comes from, not only looks to the restoration of Jerusalem after its destruction, but in fact to a bigger vision of nations united in the worship of God and of creation restored. Indeed, it's a vision of what God's big plan has been about all this time. So let's turn to the reading. Michael, I wonder if you would be willing to just give us a bit of a synopsis of what's going on in the Isaiah reading this morning.
Just a second.
I can try. Well, I can try to do that. As you say, Steve, this is now the third part of Isaiah. So it's words to the people who have arrived back home and now are still encountering difficulties in the community. And so we're hearing God's will for the people at that time. The writer says that he has come to bring good news. You're oppressed people, and I'm bringing good news to you. That's what God wants me to do, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. So he's proclaiming both a year of the Lord's favor, but also a time, a day of vengeance, when God will set everything right. Because God loves justice, it says. He hates all this robbery and wrongdoing that's going on. God loves justice. And so God is saying, through the words of the author of Isaiah, I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I'm going to set things up the way they're supposed to be. And that's the message here. So it's a message of hope and encouragement for the people, but also a message of reconciliation. Things are going to be set correctly.
I can imagine that while they were sitting in exile for all those years, they were thinking, if only we could get back to Jerusalem, if only things could be restored to what they were. And because it's not a utopia, it's not heaven, they probably got back and realized a lot of our problems have just followed us. So I think it's a good word of hope for them. And for us too, that when we put our hope in things of the world, we're going to be disappointed. But God is saying, no, there is something to hope for, but it's something in God.
Mind wanders off in different directions. As I hear you say, if only, yes, if only we could go back to church full time these days.
But in one sense, I mean, that's actually a helpful reminder that even though things aren't going as we hope, we know that God is working right now. We have seen real fruit, and we know some fruit is coming. Michael, I have to say, I'm so glad you chose this passage for our meditation today. In my mind, this really highlights some of the great intricacy of the weaving together of different themes of Scripture. I think Stephanie talked about in the first of our podcasts in Advent, the layered themes of Advent. And I just want to speak for that just a moment. One of the things I love about it. So this the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And it's an interesting question. Well, who is that me? And you're absolutely right, Michael, that, you know, in the first sense of the word, that is not Jesus. That is someone else. And the question of, well, who is that? And it's interesting because in Isaiah, there is this figure called the servant of Yahweh. There's four of these, what we call the servant songs and the suffering servant. And sometimes it kind of goes back and forth. Is he talking about Israel as a nation, or is he talking about this individual servant who has a mission to save Israel? So this me in the thing is looking forward to someone who's going to bring about this justice. And then to layer in another layer. And again, this is what I absolutely love about Scripture. We have Jesus in Luke chapter 4, coming back out of the desert, coming back out of this time of temptation. And when Jesus gives his first sermon in Luke, setting the theme of what he's all about, it's this passage that he reads. Yeah. And he says, this is now fulfilled in me. So that me, suffering servant, comes now back to Jesus. I think it's just a beautiful weaving together of God's vision through Jesus of how his love is moving through centuries.
That's right. It's important for us, and this is why it is important for us as Christians to read the Old Testament prophets, because we see God's will, God's way, woven throughout history and coming to fruition in Jesus. So yes, we can read this. And even though it is the author of Isaiah who has written these words the first time, we can read this as though it is Jesus speaking, because that's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, it's another one of those layers of Advent, like you said, Steve, that people in Isaiah were facing a physical exile, and God promised them deliverance from that. Jesus is saying, you have a much bigger spiritual exile, and I'm the focus of God's work, restoring that. I'm the one who's going to save you from the spiritual exile. And third layer, of course, is how can it speak to us? Is there a place where in our own lives, in our own souls, we're feeling exiled and apart from God? We can still hear those words as speaking to us about God's own promise of restoration in our world and in our lives.
I think that's beautiful, Stephanie. I think that is a good way. Let me just home in specifically where I think Jesus is saying exactly what you just said. In verse number 2 in this Isaiah, we have this: to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And the question is, well, what is that? What's the year of the Lord's favor? And of course, that's hearkening back to an ancient Jewish institution that, it's funny, it was on the books and not probably observed as you would hope, but it's still on the books as this momentous time. In Leviticus, we read, you shall hallow the 50th year, called the Jubilee, and you shall proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the nations. It shall be a jubilee to you. You shall return every one to you to your property and every one of you to your family. So in this jubilee, there was this vision of restoration for everything that you had lost over the course of 50 years. And now Jesus is claiming it. And like you just said, Stephanie, this restoration, it's bigger than just land and property. Now it's the restoration of creation.
But it's Advent, so we still have to wait.
You're right, Michael. You're right.
the gospel for this week is once again bringing John the Baptist into it, just so that we're reminded that that John was the forerunner, and so we have a bit of an account of what Jesus or what John was all about, and John hearkens to Isaiah, just so that we're not ready quite for Jesus yet.
It's that beautiful phrase, the already but not yet.
Yeah.
I just want to make one more point before we get to our summing up time. It's interesting, this question that the Lord loves justice, and hates robbery and wrongdoing, and this theme that comes through. And I think this is a universal theme that Jesus turned on. He had this idea that he was meant to free the prisoners and set free the oppressed and give sight to the blind. And some of this we can read metaphorically, but as we call in Jesus' ministry, some of it means actually quite literally. He showed this image of, for instance, healing people who were blind, and then used it as a metaphor as well for our spiritual blindness. And he is setting us free. And so I think part of our time in Advent, as we meditate on these truths, part of the way Advent works on us is we do this every year, and these truths hopefully get deep into our heart and change our hearts so that we, in fact, are also set free from spiritual blindness, but start to learn to see the goodness and graciousness of God, even in these difficult times. So as we come to the end of our podcast, I'd like to ask the question I often ask at the end of a podcast. What do you take from this reading? What might speak to us in this third week of Advent?
For me, it's the reminder of that central truth that if we want to see what God is like, we need to look at Jesus. Jesus is the exact image of God. And I think what Jesus, using this passage from Isaiah to speak about himself, tells us that central to God's mission and work in the world is justice and restoration. And while that, to quote Martin Luther King Jr., the arc of that playing out is long and it's by no means done yet, we know that justice and restoration is very close to God's heart. And that happens on an individual level. It also happens on a society level, a worldwide level, a creation level.
For me, it's the awareness, my awareness of the history and the fact that this has been going on for a long time and it's going to continue on for some time yet. There's a temptation to get impatient. I'm going to talk a bit more about that at worship on Sunday morning. But that's what it's about. Just hold your horses here. Just keep on keeping on. Do the best you can. Do what you can to move more fully into the life of Christ, and see yourself as a part of this ongoing historical movement. It's definitely moving. It's not just something that we have to just wait entirely for, or wait for in completely. Some things are happening already, but there are yet more things to come.
I think for me, I'm going to take a lesson from Lectio Divina for this one, particularly that very first line, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So obviously that's the servant of Yahweh saying that. And then Jesus claims that in Luke 4. But I think the Lectio Divina invites us to also meditate on that for ourselves. And in this time, and I have to say again, I was disappointed yesterday. And I think I want to spend some time this week, just keep coming back to this. And the me is now me, Steve London, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And to really get into that truth that the Spirit of God is going to get me. It's going to get us all through this. We're going to know Christ born again. We are going to know the good news of Christmas. I just have to focus on this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me.
Beautiful.
So I want to say thank you to everyone for listening to us today. As you meditate on this scripture, we'd love to hear what you have to say. If you want to put it in the comments on the website, or if you'd like to send us an email, revstevelondon@gmail.com. Again, appreciate you listening. We love making these podcasts. And until we talk about Advent 4, we'll see you later.
Have a good weekend.
Bye for now.